Board of SPGA, and the members that are responsible for that structure. And the members will tell you all the members of the portfolio committee. I can never stop appreciating the fact that we do prioritize this committee. And thank you very much. Also, the portfolio committee technical support. We are ready now to start. You are very much welcome. This is a straightforward presentation of which, after the presentation, we will allow people to ask all sorts of questions, which clarity questions or any other questions. So with that, therefore, I allow, yes, even without going through the process of wanting to see the correct we do. But necessary then we think if there are any apologies or important announcements that are relevant that to do to want to assist us in that regard.
Thank you very much, my role is just to announce any apologies from members and from the department. I have an apology from Oracle Dudley, who indicated that she won't be with us today. She's attending the Children's Forum and also the PC on International Relations and the Clash of Meeting. Just been brought my attention that the minister is on her way to just join us. So, thank you very much.
Can we adjust? Is the person going to say something?
No, not necessarily, Chair, because the secretary has just mentioned it.
Where
did
they there's a problem with your technical arrangement? I don't know whether you do have handouts. If you have a problem, so that you can start. Okay. Can we get the phone again? Can you have your phone for the wife? Ask for this, yeah. So that we can get that in. Characteristics or mechanisms that are there to support the implementation of the 2020
support involved in dealing with the training through the Shamba plan. We also looked at the vulnerabilities of the population that we are concerned about, particularly our youth, and a comparatively higher overall level of substance use occurs, and this is an international phenomenon. It's not something that's peculiar only to our country. It's something that we are very aware of as being an international scourge that we are all having to look at. But what is of concern to us at the particular moment is the early age at which people start getting involved in substance abuse, particularly in our country, being at about 8 years old. The other big problem that we have is in terms of alcohol consumption, the binge drinking that takes place over weekends, particularly amongst our youth as well, and of course the high prevalence of the polysubstance use where they are using more than one drug, mixing them, making concoctions, and compounding the problem when it comes to treatment, because what are we treating? We don't know because we're not sure what the concoction is. However, in terms of the WHO 2014 Global Status Report on Alcohol and Health, South Africa has been shown to have a very high adult per capita alcohol consumption rate in comparison to other countries. South Africa was sitting at in 2010 at a figure of 11 in comparison to other countries, as you can see there, at 6 and 6.2 for the other African regions of the world, and America's 8.4 and Europe 10.9. So something that we are concerned about in terms of the increasing, as I said, and the annual capita consumption. Focuses on, without neglecting other forms of substance abuse, are looking at the use of alcohol then, as I've already alluded to, the high prevalence rate that we have and the deep concern that we have because of the cost to the economy and the impact that it has on our society in general, as well as other issues like tobacco, cannabis, heroin, and the non-medical use of medical preparations. For example, we have seen that there has been an increase, not only in South Africa, but internationally, of prescription medicines being abused through the prescribing habits of certain practitioners, and of course that is something that we need to address and be concerned about. There's also the issue around injection substance use, which includes the collaboration with the needle and syringe programs, the use of the home brew alcohol concoctions, and the use of substances which are relatively new. And here we're talking about things that we are seeing in our own country, on the continent, that we were immune to for a long period of time. But we are now seeing, for example, the cathinone, the synthetic cathinone, the original cat or cut, as we call it, the new psychoactive substances which are internationally being marketed through a virtual outlets in the middle of some ocean which we don't even know where they're coming from. But our youngsters, our youth, are able to access this through internet, which is a very, very huge problem on how do we control that. But certainly something that we have to apply our minds to. And then, of course, we've got the issue around the York Air, which has become another big new concern for the country. And then I've already alluded to the problem that we have with the early age at which our youth are starting to involve themselves in abusing substances as another area of concern. Intervention agents are advised to apply the integrated demand, supply and harm reduction program on which the National Drug Master Plan stands, and they look at substance use and related harm as an outflow of a combination of individual and societal factors, which clearly are issues which the Central Drug Authority, which the Department of Social Development alone cannot deal with, and that is the reason why we have to collaborate with all other government departments as well. Also, there is evidence that the restriction on access to substances and socioeconomic deprivation alleviation facilitates the countering of substance use-related harm, which is where we have to apply our minds. And access to quality substance use-related treatment and aftercare services is essential for reducing the health and the socioeconomic costs associated with it. And one of the new areas that we are now being focusing on is the continuum of care after rehabilitation, which is what we need to apply our minds to based on the fact that you cannot change the habit that these users have developed over a period of time in a 2 week or an 8 week or a 2 month program. That's the continual care that we are now having to focus on. So from the National Drug Master Plan, specific outcomes which the activities are based on is the reduction of the bio-socio-economic impact of substance abuse-related illnesses on the South African population, and that is what we colloquially talk about when we talk about harm reduction. You're probably familiar with the fact that harm reduction is a term that is being dropped by the United Nations at the present moment, but there is still a need for us to identify that there are harms caused by the use of the substances, and therefore we still have to apply our minds to reducing the harm associated with it. And then there's the ability of all people in South Africa to deal with problems related to substance abuse within their communities, and that is what we look at when we're talking about the demand reduction. Then the reduced availability of substances is the supply reduction, and for that we are obviously dependent on the work done by certain other government agencies and departments. The recreational facilities and the diversion programs to prevent vulnerable populations from becoming substance dependent is another aspect that we look at in terms of demand reduction. We further look at the development of protocols and practices for the integrated diagnosis and treatment of substance dependence and the co-occurring disorders, because very, very often the use of the substances precipitates some other mental condition, or the use of the drugs is as a result of people having suffered with some other mental disorder. So which one comes first, which one we have to deal with, and that is why we have to be very, very aware of the comorbidity associated with the problem that we're dealing with. There needs to be the harmonization and the enforcement of laws and policies to facilitate effective governance, which is also part of supply reduction, and the creation of employment opportunities in the field of combating substance abuse, which would also then be a demand reduction program. The targets that were set for 2014 to 2015 were for the monitoring and ensuring the implementation of the Drug Master Plan, which is an ongoing process and which is monitored on a regular basis. Improving access, interventions and treatment, we looked at that as well, and I'll deal with that in a few minutes. Reducing the harm associated with substance abuse, reducing the social ills associated with substance abuse, and I think that we must identify with the fact that every one of the social problems that we're having to deal with in the country has one common thread running through those social ills, and that is the fact that there is the abuse of substances associated with it. The conduct of the National Household Survey and strengthening of the capacity of the Central Drug Authority support structures with regard to the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. So the activities that we were involved in order to be effective, substantially more intense work has been done in comparison to previous years, where we looked at, for example, the implementation and the strengthening of the support structures, access to quality treatment, and we are aware that government has already allocated 150 million rand to the establishment of 4 new treatment centres, of which 3 are already, 1 is already operational, 2 are in the final processes, and the 4th one is due to start very shortly. We also hosted the Substance Abuse Treatment Symposium in Kimberley because, as I said earlier, one of the areas that we have to concern ourselves with is making sure that the treatment facilities and the treatment programs that are offered are in accordance with the latest developments and thinking internationally. Organized and hosted the Cannabis Roundtable. We have also maintained the 9 provincial substance abuse forums which were established and established 238 local drug action committees. The 238 local drug action committees, having been established, are now in the process of being audited in order to identify where the weaknesses and where the challenges are being experienced within the local drug action committees, and we are fully aware that there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and that is being conducted the audit in order to be able to identify how best we can deal with the problem. We also monitored the implementation of the resolutions which were passed at the second biennial anti-substance abuse summit, and the implementation of the National Anti-Substance Abuse Program of Action in the 9 national government departments. Awareness among young people about the problem of substance abuse is a priority because prevention is the best tool that we have in fighting the scourge, and that's where a lot of focus needs to be. And then, of course, we have set up partnerships with relevant local, regional, and international agencies, as I mentioned earlier. For example, we are working and looking to work closer with SANAC, the UNODC, and we have instituted training through the Colombo plan already. Some of the demand reduction strategies that we've spoken about, we have capacitated stakeholders in 9 provinces in order for them to implement both Act 70 of 2008 as well as the National Drug Master Plan for 2013 to 2017. We are monitoring the implementation of the department's community-based model and the implementation implemented the department's anti-substance abuse awareness and education programs. At the same time, we participate on an annual basis in the International Day Against Drug Abuse and the Illicit Trafficking, assessed and registered inpatients and two outpatient treatment services, which we've done by the Department of Social Development as part of the demand reduction contribution that the department is making, as well as the drafting of the minimum norms and standards for halfway houses, also attended to by social development, capacitated city park municipalities for their efforts towards social mobilization, and strengthening the anti-substance abuse policies, such as the anti-doping rules which are laid down by the South African Institute for Drug Free Sport and through the Department of Sports and Recreation. Continuing with demand reduction, we're looking at the conducting of the anti-substance abuse pesticide campaign, and this we opportunistically try and link in with whatever other programs are being run by other agencies as well. We are also monitoring the implementation of the program of action of the national departments, and that is done by the social development departments as well. Conducted anti-substance abuse programs run by social workers in which 16,342 sentenced offenders, probationers and parolees participated, and that was done through the Department of Correctional Services and also through their cooperation with the Central Drug Authority. We have conducted, there have been wellness programs on substance abuse done by the Department of Social, by the Department of Correctional Services amongst the employees, as well as dialogue with 600 children in 3 schools in rural areas in the Free State, particularly around Child Prevention Week, to obtain input from them and also to then impact on the program as well. And this was done with the Department of Justice. We have 7 interventions in Gauteng, including involved talks on substance abuse related problems, in community halls and road shows, partnership with the National Prosecuting Authority, reaching 3,876 people, also coordinated through the Department of Justice. The school campaign in communities with a high level of substance abuse, reaching 680 people, and creating awareness of the effects of substance abuse. As I said, part of what we are talking about is the prevention, and the only way to make sure that these people don't get involved in the first place is to make them fully aware and make them capable of making a rational decision as to whether they want to suffer the consequence afterwards, and that can only be done by introducing the subject as a matter at school level. Free awareness raising campaigns in the Limpopo on sexual offences and the interplay between such offences and substance abuse, reaching 750 people, and that was also coordinated through the Department of Justice. There were 3 awareness raising campaigns in the Northern Cape on substance abuse and cyber bullying, including the training of stakeholders and leaders on the Child Justice Act, as well as available government services, and held 72 public education initiatives on substance abuse and related problems, all conducted by the Department of Justice. Through the Department of Vocational Education and Training, we have had talk shows at student levels, and also using higher education, hosting substance abuse at different universities and tertiary institutions. Awareness raising campaigns in tertiary institutions are supported by higher education, the Department of Social Development, and CDA. We have participated through the South African Institute of Drug Free Sport in dealing with the problem of doping and drawing the simile between cheating, whether it be for sports purposes or whether it be for cheating. it's just our livelihood and dealing with drugs, and we have recognized that there is a correlation between the two. The Department of Sports and Recreation through the state conducted 2,357 doping tests. Inter alia found that the steroid use is increasing amongst the learners in the schools, and as I mentioned earlier, these are the concerns that we have, particularly the fact that it's penetrating down into the younger members of our communities as well. They implemented 5 campaigns and recreational programs that focus on reducing substance use and abuse, and we participated in that as well. 20,458 people took part in indigenous rural sports improvement initiatives and other related activities in different provinces and municipalities in order to show them that there are healthy ways in order to enjoy yourself rather than recreational use of drugs. Supported 1 national school championship for 11 federations, provided 226 schools with sports equipment, focusing on priority sporting codes and the association between not using enhancing agents in order to perform at a school level, and 10,915 learners participated in school sports, including children with disabilities. Building 2 recreational and sports skills to provide infrastructure access and providing technical management support, and to establish 25 recreational facilities. Again, looking at ways of taking up the time that children have or that the youth have in getting involved in illicit use of drugs and giving them something healthy in order to spend their time recreationally. From a supply reduction point of view, this is where we depend particularly on other agencies, such for example SARS and the police, as well as the DPA, where they've been looking at the detection and seizure of various illicit substances, and there have been a number of successes that they have reported, such as for example the seizure of 152 grams of chip and the amount for 43 million rands worth. Or Tambo during that period of reporting, seizures of crystal methamphetamine, discovering other bricks of cocaine, crystal meth, and to 28,500 million rand of drug passing through the Durban Harbour. Sorry, have you?
Sorry about that.
The supply reduction, again, the activities of SARS and accepting crystal methamphetamine at 65 kilos. And I think what is important is that you must have a look at the thing that we're talking about when we talk about these amounts that are being seized. 19.3 million. Executing 154 investigation projects, 54 years in economy and crime and set up for criminal activities, and the correlation that we have between substance abuse and organized crime is borne out by this statistic over here as well. The conducting of 17,533 disruptions and detection interventions, resulting in 2,606 detentions, 2,736 seizures, 27 arrest approvals. And I think that we must recognize that this is a big improvement on the type of reporting that we've been getting up until now in terms of these activities by SARS and as well as by our police departments as well. The SAS were involved in the detection and the closure of unlicensed liquor outlets. This was part of a resolution that was passed at our second annual biennial summit as well, where we asked that more attention be focused on those particular areas. The conducting compliance inspections of licensed liquor outlets, the closing of illegal liquor distribution outlets, the confiscation of liquor sold in unlicensed and illegal outlets, and the arrestings of persons for driving under the influence of liquor, and we're now including in that other drugs as well. This is a big improvement on when we were just looking at alcohol and the effect of alcohol on people's ability to be able to drive. We're now recognizing the attention that we pay to other drugs and the driving under the influence for example, our Polish drivers who have to get more trips in a day and therefore are using other substances as well. We're also looking at the reduction of the seizure of dry cannabis as well as the cannabis plant, seizure of mandrax, crystal methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, and of course various other sweet actions that are taking place, which as I said, in terms of the reporting that we're seeing in comparison to previous years, there has been a big improvement. The reporting of crimes for possession and dealing illicit substances, and the dismantling of 57 clandestine laboratories. 31 laboratories were hydroponic laboratories, and 20 were other synthetic chemical laboratories. This also then draws attention to the fact that we in South Africa are no different to anywhere else in the world. We are now manufacturing our own drugs for our own consumption rather than bringing them in and importing them. That means that we have to pay strict attention to the chemicals that are used and the control of those chemicals and the diversion of those chemicals into the illicit market for these clandestine laboratories. Arresting through the work of the Director of Authority of Crime, 324 persons for drug-related offences and obtaining 98 convictions in respect of those arrests. Other activities reported by SAS of the seizures through border policing, and here we're talking about heroin, cocaine, crystal meth, the dry cannabis plant, ecstasy, mandrax, and crack cocaine as well. We also look then at, as I said, the importance of being able to deal with harm reduction. Based on the fact that however good we are in terms of controlling the illicit drugs coming in, there will always be a ready market, people will always fall through the fact and have to be treated, and for which we have harm reduction strategies as well. And for that, we have the symposium that was run in Kilby in the Northern Cape, where we have drafted the final legislation on the control of alcohol beverages through the Department of Health, drafted regulations on warning labels through the Department of Health as well as the DPI, and continuing surveillance to monitor trends in the nature and the extent of substance abuse, the detox guidelines with the help of a team of specialists, submitting them from to the essential drug list in order to make it more readily available at all clinics throughout the country and at all provincial outlets. Securing $150 million from Treasury for the development of the four new public treatment centres, and the monitoring and the implementation of the minimum norms and standards for inpatient treatment centres and two residential treatment centres in two of the provinces. Through collaboration with the Medicines Control Council, we have also looked at updating the inscription of substances in Schedule 5, 6, and 7 by including all chemically related and synthetic analogues rather than trying to then ensure that drugs do not escape the inclusion in the act by manipulating a molecule somewhere in the chemical formula, which means that it hasn't been stipulated. And that was the reason for putting in all analogues. So in order to try and close that down. Listing a number of other substances, for example, and there are just some examples that I've given over there, the benzyl, pyrazine, we're talking about the doxypyrazine, the methylone, and the big problem that we have now with methadone, which is part of the problem that we have with the new psychoactive substances that have infiltrated into the country as well. We're also reviewing the risk benefits of all the probate-containing products due to make sure that they meet the acceptable standards of safety, quality, efficacy, and to withdraw them from the market following international regulatory authorities, recognizing that there might be a specific need in order to deal with our population group here in South Africa who are HIV prevalent, because of the HIV prevalence, for which case there is a research project that is taking place as well. The review of over-the-counter products containing codeine in order to minimize the potential for misuse and abuse in line with other regulatory agents, and this again is taking the lead from what is we have seen happening internationally in other countries, and amending the schedules to reduce the maximum quantity of codeine that is available over-the-counter without prescription. And this has been done
adopted by the District Control Council on a recommendation made by the Central Road Authority. Other activities and achievements of the Central Road Authority, challenges related to the Provincial Substance Abuse Forums, implementation of the National Road Master Plan, substance abuse interventions generally led to the Department of Social Development. Local government recognizes the need for substance abuse intervention, but unfortunately provide very little concrete support to the activities at the local drug action committee level, as well as very often the problem that we have within provinces as well. The rendering of chronic substance abuse related treatment compromised by the mushrooming of unregistered treatment centers and the difficulties in ensuring that the latter center registered for which an audit has already begun, and we are now looking to address the problem that we have of these unregistered facilities opening up. Some of the key challenges that the Central Road Authority have identified is the evidence-based intervention constraint by lack of a comprehensive up-to-date national data, which needs to be done. The new forms of substance use and abuse continuously emerging, and in order for us to be able to keep abreast of all of that, we need to be actively involved internationally in arenas in order to ensure that we are ahead of what is going to be happening, and the fact that we know that we are part of that global community where we have the problem. Inadequate resources for the National Drug Master Plan implementation. Another constraint was the local government's default in supporting local drug action committees. Inadequate access to treatment services. In spite of the fact that there has been an improvement, we still are only capable of assisting 1 in 18 people who apply for help in the country, as compared to figures from other countries, which are much better. The illegal and unregistered treatment centers functioning, the incomplete stakeholders' representation at the Provincial Substance Abuse Forum level, and the poor reporting by stakeholders, and stakeholders not submitting their annual reports timely, in spite of the fact that we have tried, in whichever way possible, to ensure that they report back to us, we still have that as a major challenge. Key recommendations from the Central Road Authority is to allocate adequate resources, ensure increased quality substance use related to treatment. We want to facilitate evidence-based and comprehensive implementation of the National Road Master Plan, or by example, implementing periodic methodologically compared comprehensive national population household surveys, and strengthening the national, provincial, and local Central Drug Authority supporting structures, as well as harmonizing substance use related legislation to a greater extent. We've also looked at reviewing the Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Act 70 of 2008 and a review of the structure of the Central Drug Authority. Honourable Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity, and that is the conclusion of my report.
Thanks a lot, sir, for that report. And before I let anyone question the report, I'd like to welcome the Minister to the Senator. And you are welcome, ma'am. Is there anything further the department would like to say before I hand over to you, the Minister? Department? Nothing to add. Minister, would you like to say a few words on the Central Drug
Agency? Thanks a lot, sir, for that report.
I'm opening the question now. It's Honorable Hunter Merida. And then Lawson is the next one. Honorable Lawson. Honorable Abram. I'll take that to you first. Honorable Hunter Merida.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the Minister and her team. I also want to align myself to the comments that you made in terms of welcoming the report. However, this report is very late. We are now dealing with a report that is, for all intents and purposes, old. We should be dealing with 2015-2016 at least. And the problem with this is, once we are dealing with reports very late, you are actually hampering us as members of Parliament to exercise our oversight responsibilities in terms of our constitutional obligations. And you're also in breach of the Prevention and Treatment of Drug Dependency Act. And I need to get a clear understanding as to why we're only dealing with this report now. I think we last saw you in 2014, if I remember correctly, now 2016. And I think, considering the massive challenge of drug and substance abuse in our country, we need to, this interaction with the CDA, for me, is very important, because we need to get regular updates in terms of where we go in the fight against substance abuse. And I think, Minister, you know, every generation, the youth has got some sort of struggle, and I think that Africa's struggle this time around in terms of what our youth are facing is a very critical issue of substance abuse. And I want to give you some examples. For example, you know, during the constituency period leading up to the election, I was working in Manenberg. That community has been held ransom by drug lords. The children can't play in the little park because they'll be shot at. You go down to Faro just at the weekend, I was driving down there. You've got children who are sniffing glue, and they get so aggressive that they actually come to your car, and they want to, while you're in the car, they try to hit on your window. There's a massive crisis, and it feels to me that our interventions, your plans and programs that you're presenting to us are fantastic, but it feels to me that we are not treating this with enough vigor and as the crisis that it really is. So I want to ask you a couple of just clarity-seeking questions in terms of the report. Some of the recommendations you are making here is you need adequate resources. And I think also another point that you made was you can only treat 1 in 18 people who are seeking help. Now, to me, that is a crisis. So I need to understand from government side or from cabinet side or even from the board side, what are we doing in terms of making Treasury, cabinet understand the scale of this crisis and the resources that we need to be able to empower you to be able to fight this effectively. I also need to understand, you spoke about the cooperation with other departments. They are critical elements in your fight against substance abuse. How regularly do you meet with other departments? Specifically the Department of Police, because I think unless you are actually tackling, you've got some sort of strategy with the Department of Police in terms of dealing with drug cartels or these drug gangs that are holding our communities ransom, that you are going to struggle to fight this fight alone. So how often do you meet with other departments? So you mentioned the Cannabis Roundtable, which was held. I need to understand what was the outcome of that Cannabis Roundtable, and whether there's any research into the decriminalization of cannabis. I believe that there is some paper in process. One of the slides here you mentioned, I need to know what is the status of the National Household Survey on substance abuse, because I think that would be very important for us if we've got facts and figures, relevant facts and figures, then we can adjust our approach or our intervention. And then finally, my last question, Chairperson. I seem to get an understanding that other departments and municipalities or local government or provincial structures are not fully giving effect to the National Drug Master Plan. How also are you planning then to increase your oversight and monitoring in evaluation in terms of getting them to do much more in this fight? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Chairperson, the next person to speak will be Honourable Ross, and then it will be Honourable Abram.
Please just keep your number, because I might have not had, I went to 2 minutes. So then you use, can you then go on in that order?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the CDA for the report, although I think, and I'm going to cover a little bit of what my colleague has already said, it is a long, okay. The first thing that that struck me is on page 6 of your presentation, where you talk about the key CDA institutional characteristics. And the concern there is that the CDA is the primary South African body that is statutorily mandated to advise policy.
Okay.
So the fact is that you can only advise and you do not have the teeth to legislate or take action. And I think this is one of the biggest issues. And apart from your presentation, I am on page 60, actually, of your annual report, okay, where you deal with challenges and recommendations. And I find it really alarming to read in your challenges, number one, that the comprehensive national data to measure overall impact. There's no intervention needs or absence, etc. My colleague mentioned the fact that there is no resources to counter substance abuse. But I think what I find really alarming is some departments represented in the CDA have not developed their departmental drug master plan and have not submitted annual reports on their efforts towards implementing the NDMP as required by the Act. Okay. Provincial support structures are not fully representative of all stakeholders at a provincial level, and that most government departments represented in the CDA and some PSAS do not submit their annual reports on the implementation of the National Drug Master Plan. This is serious, because we have no way of controlling the situation without the support of the provincial governments and the municipalities to assist in this search, and I find that terribly alarming, and I need to know, this is 2014-15 report, has this been rectified in 2015-16, and if not, why not, and what are we doing to make sure that those forums are adhering to the Act? It is an Act. If you're not adhering to it, you are in breach of the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister and staff. Good morning. And thank you very much to the TA for the comprehensive presentation. What is the department doing with regard to the legal circumstances that's mushrooming up daily? And then to review of the substance abuse efforts that the necessary unit has been received, according to the department, that we do a ward by ward public participation, because sometimes we're also doing provisioning and we don't actually reach the people that should be participating. And the implementation of the NDMP should be strengthened at local and provincial and national level to ensure a consistent uprooting of the scourge of substance abuse. How many in the department monitoring the case of involuntary intake by the court, we should find that sometimes people are not aware what they're doing. And if the NDMP, how many departments is actually held up, my colleague can talk about it. There's a mini draft master plan. I think that is also 50 departments that they start doing that. Then on page 18, the facilities that we involved to, where are they involved, which provinces, which areas, so that you know. And then I just need clarity on providing technical and management support to establish 25 recreation facilities. Is that just support, or is that actually going to take place at those facilities because it's 25 recreation facilities? And very interesting on the activities which brings us to 21. It's good to see the step, but my question is the prosecution. How successful is the rate of prosecution? In my own area, which is El Dorado Park, all these people get arrested, and many next minute, they are the community up and arms because of their issue of slowing down our police station. They feel that the justice system is just not doing justice to them. The detection and closure of these unlicensed liquor outlets. If they are unlicensed, they should actually be closed down completely. What is your success rate there? It's the concern of these outlets that they open, they get closed down by the very next minute that they are closed. My question there is how successfully of all these 462,000 compliance inspections, how many do we have in South Africa, if possible? I know I may be asking a question or maybe it's one now. But is a concern there are too many of these. Also, what do we do with the legislation of REACH, where you have a church and a little outlet adjacent, the fences adjacent in the school, and we have that in my area, it is there. about the drinking of liquor. It's interesting that millions and millions of liquor, but people are still getting drunk. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mavillo and Honorable Colette. Oh, sorry. Not Pavia. Okay. Thank you very much. You can go ahead, Honorable Member, let me say. Then I'll come to Honorable Masamo and the Honorable Thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Minister, and your team. Now, mine will be basically a brief comment. I have looked at page 21, page 22, page 23, the activities and the successes and the failures. For me, Chair, I think I regard this as deeply encouraging. And for me, I see that there's a light, a bright light at the end of the dark tunnel. And it gives me, in a nutshell, I would say that it shows that we are turning the corner. Notwithstanding that drugs are an international problem. I mean, usually on Saturdays I watch History Channel. And then that's where you will see how drugs are manufactured. Infection and how dangerous it is. So for us as government, we are really interested in solving the problem. But I must say, Chair, from the presentation, I was also interested in the control of the chemical laboratories, because I think that's the right step. That is like a blind spot, because in the main we have been focusing on drug trafficking in the country, with under focus on the actual production in the area. So once the CDA has identified that with the stakeholders as a problem, then it gives us a long way of solving the problem. So I think more intelligence must be rolled out, infiltration sources, so that we break this thing, because there are too many drugs in the country. Now, I'm also very interested in the detox, because there's a problem. Once the drugs are in the system and there are no facilities, access is a problem. You don't solve the problem. You can involve the churches like we do in the province, in the modern case. But once the facilities, like the detoxification, you can't solve the things. So that for me is a step in the right direction. Let us finalize that. What we want to see, the finalized detoxification guidelines or the effect, let it be rolled out as a matter of urgency. That is what I would want to say. So that it responds to the harm reduction strategy. With the treatment centers, I would just recommend that those that are not completed, let them also be accelerated. So then there is access. Because we have seen in terms of the Northern Cape, the Christian center is very expensive, 50,000. So it excludes. I mean, we have done oversight there. They are doing a good work, but access, it will only be for those who can afford. So the rollout of public treatment centers is the right step in the right direction, but it must be accelerated. I want to conclude one thing here and support my colleague, Honorable Beverly Everett. Look, in the problem, we've got a major problem around, we have a liquor board, it has clear guidelines, etc. But there's a problem in an area called Portsmouthburg. There's a liquor outlet next to the shrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is a Roman Catholic church. And the father there, Father Wolf, has raised it on numerous occasions. And there's no joy in that. So I know that it must be according to 5 meters or what, but that one, once you pray at the shrine, you see there is a liquor store, there is a music playing, you know. So I think some of these things, I know it has to deal with the bylaws, but they must bite, because then it defeats the purpose. Here at the church, you are, it's moral, but there the young ones are there in the temple. So maybe, I know it's not your responsibility to stay alone, but it's a multidisciplinary approach that is needed. Such specific issues, I mean, there are now two specific issues, one from the Northern Cape and one from where baby comes from, Eldorado Park. So I think maybe the CDA must zoom in there and meet with all the stakeholders with a view of solving that problem, because we need the churches in this fight against drugs. But once they are alienated, it's counterproductive. Thanks, Honorable Chair. As I said, I'm not asking questions, I'm making broad comments because I've read through the document and I've listened carefully to the presentation. At least I must finally just say there is a radical improvement.
Mm.
Because in the past we say CGA, go back.
Yeah.
And I think they have listened. Thanks very much, Minister, for the leadership. Mm. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Let me also welcome the report. Congratulations, it's almost a year late, but then I feel one of the things that have been raised in the report, perhaps some of them have already been rectified. But my worry is on the issue, when you look at the report, that the province, the role that is being played by the province, it's either they submit their report late, it's either they do not submit their report at all, especially on the annual report, they've made mention of the Western Cape, that the Western Cape did not submit the annual report so that it becomes part of this report. I would really want to get an information on that one, because we all know that Western Cape, the drug, is number one on the chart list in terms of the substance abuse. You link all of them together in the Western Cape. Can I perhaps have maybe it will come on the next week or on the annual, but I think this is an opportunity for us to have a sense of what is going on, especially in all the provinces. I'll also be interested in my province, where I come from as a representative, the Free State province, and also where the province where I was born, which is the Eastern Cape province, because when I go home, surprisingly, I grew up in the villages, almost a far village about 30 kilometers away from the small town, which is the hamlet. The problem, I've never seen when I grew up the way our children, as early as 10 years, the way they indulge themselves in liquor, in big rural areas. You find them very drunk around Easter, in when it's December, then it's a full story. The same with the Free State. I live in Bloemfontein. I think Bloemfontein is the capital of where public drinking. I've never seen an area where public drinking is not respected like that. Actually, even sub cannot even try to deal with that. There's a lot of public drinking. It's like it's a norm to drink publicly in the area. The cowashes that we have in our location, they've been converted to the drinking places now. You get everybody there on Friday, they even block the road, there's no stretch of road, you can't even go through that road. Especially now that we're going to Maputo, we have a serious problem. Even at the intersection in NA, there's a car wash that is there, there's a lot of drinking. I think it's Mahumba, everybody should be knowing about that.
Yeah.
When you get to Bloemfontein, it's Mahumba car wash. I mean, the public drinking that is there, it's alarming. So I just want you to know also on that issue, the involvement of the provinces in the helping. Because some of the provinces are having, they don't even have representatives in your order council or the authority. The other thing, your visibility also in the area. To the person from 6th grade in Lamdi, where I come from, to really know that there is an authority that is dealing with the issues of substance abuse. The same with the rural places in Kari, in the Free State. You know Kari because it's next to Northern Cape. There are towns there, when we were doing when we were in the election program, when you get to Jacob Dahl, Koffiefontein, Hoffman Pond, and Filippoli, they are just on the borders of Northern Cape and Free State. Yeah, there is still that problem. Yes, the unemployment is there, but the way the substance abuse is very high in that area. You just ask yourself whether the society involved in that area in terms of combating this, because you can't win the war alone. The war is very high. You can't win it alone. There should be a broader society that is part of winning the issue of the substance abuse. Can you also explain the involvement of the broader society?
Mm-hmm.
Are they really involved in fighting this? Because now where I'm sitting, it's one thing that you cannot win alone. You need to involve all the things. The churches. The churches should, because most of us go to church on Sunday, and people who go to church on Saturday, they are in Tuesdays. On Friday, they are in all these places. And Sunday, they go to church. Our churches, they are very organized, some of the churches. Are we really working with them? Are we working with all the broader society movements that are there in terms of fighting the scale? The last thing, some of us today who grew up in the location, we have almost different, we know of different kinds of substances that are not even recorded, that you don't even know. When she deems it, who apoptens me combo and all these other things, there are those dangerous things where you will find that the meat, sakota is mixed on a bakery, jigs and all these things. How then do you deal with that situation? Because especially in informal settlement, that's where you get it. It's very cheap.
Yes.
There are people who are, I know of a neighbor who has always, he's not raking, but he was always drunk. Even now when he can go there, he's still drunk. From morning until in the evening. And it's when I can just like I say the person is so, he gets so drunk.
Mm.
You ask yourself the context, how do you then monitor the situation like this? Because that also is very, very dangerous in terms of our livelihood. Yes, it's so bad when you come to the university. I wouldn't want to talk about the university in Brooklyn and the civil colleges, because you know what these people who are, the outlets, what they do? Now they take the outlets to the students. You found the outlets just next to the University of Free State. I can't even tell you how many nightclubs that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Next to the University of Central University of Talk Technology, there's even a small street, there's a street that is called a small street. In that small street, I think it's about 10 taverns that are there, nightclubs or taverns that are there. Almost in all the areas where there are higher learning institutions, you find lot of nightclubs, and you ask, and I'm sorry to say this, what I'm going to say, but some of these outlets, they are being owned by foreign nationals. I'm not so sure, but in the legislation doesn't allow a foreign national to have a liquor license. How do they get the liquor license? Can we really look at that? How do they get them? Because if you are not a South African, if I remember very well, I'm speaking under correction, they aren't allowed to have the liquor licenses. But most of them, even the Chinese now in townships, they've taken over Target. They've taken over the bottle stores.
Yeah,
and some of the bottle stores are not closing, even on Sunday. While in Pick and Pay and Checkers, you find that on Sundays, you cannot be sold, liquor cannot be sold. That one, we know it. But there are those bottle stores in this area that are selling liquor to the children. And this type of drug, I'm very much passionate about this. I was telling them closely that my sister's child is undergoing now, as I'm sitting here, is undergoing a plastic surgery. He's 16 years. He has indulged himself in drugs. He goes to a very expensive school in Bloemfontein. He's involved in drugs. You can't even trace what has happened to him. But on Sunday night, somebody just came off his nose because he was highly intoxicated with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really passionate about the issue. How do we help? Even us as public office bearers, how do we then filter in and help in the fight against substance abuse? Thank you.
Before you request another number, but another number,
for you. I wish that the honorable members, when they, I'm not instructing or putting words in your mouth, but we should be working towards of saying what are we going to do as the portfolio community. Because I think the minister depends on also on such matters that are passing across in our society to bring towards her something that we would want, we believe, we make all these matters your great, your broader society or whatever. So if you would have in your input to assist us, all of us, because pointing fingers is too late now. Our house is on fire. Our young, there will be no young South Africans, and the history will not air that you were also having some power that you could have utilized to influence society to move towards a particular direction. So for me, as honorable, so let's say, now a matter that seeks to have a 100% political will, 100% even smaller powers that are there. And as I say that, I'm also thinking about how is this portfolio committee going to be able to look into meeting provincial departments, let alone these national departments that are making this committee not to work. Because there are other committees where we have members who sit and go and do nothing. Attend a meeting, and all what appears is to collect this document to say they are attending. As to when they go back to their department, what is happening? Mm-hmm. So we need to go beyond our committee and ask in our recommendations is what you think that we can actually craft and come up with to say the portfolio committee in its consent, because I think it's beyond one department. I hear you saying broader society of organizations that are out there, but I think we need to move towards that. Honorable Masango, Honorable Dewey, because I've said that, I will also take a second round to say, because I am really appealing for a program that we can, when the minister and the CDA have left, we can sit as this committee and say, this is what we want to thank the minister, so that we move towards a practicality in our thinking as politicians. Thank you.
The clarity that has given has actually led to more questions needing to be asked. And as the chair just said, for all of us to come up with what we can suggest to make this happen. So for the purpose of this sitting chair, I just wanted to ask, I had a question on the recommendation, the key recommendations of the CDA, which are in on page 29. For me, these recommendations are quite helpful to be implemented and to find out how, given the fact that we are now in September 2016 and this is 2014-2015, are we implementing them? Because I'm actually more interested specifically in the sub bullets that speak to the implementation of the periodic methodological comparable competency in national education counseling. Because I believe that it helps a lot, and also there is somewhere where the presentation speaks of the stakeholders that are not complying. And I would like to say an example of who those stakeholders are, because I want to align myself also to the comments that have been made in saying that this is not a CXP problem only, and everybody else needs to be and the presentation that's going on about the role of organizations such as your sector Africa to provide some sort of data on this issue of substance use because of this a mention was made earlier on of what is happening in rural areas. I happen to come from one of them, probably the part of the province where I come from. And this is the prevalence of heavy substance and alcohol abuse is just wiping out a certain generation of our population. And one would really like to know or to have a separate discussion on this alone as a policy in impact and say what can be done with other stakeholders that would add value in making sure that this clarity between the fight against substance abuse is one. But for the purpose of this meeting, I was just wanting to know about the key recommendations because I believe they would go a long way in ensuring that some drive up the aid in
and the minister are taking note of what those immediate answers that we are looking at. But I'm just opening the thinking that we should also think outside this building. So Honorable Erwin, then Honorable Masundi, and then I think everyone has heard about. And after you, I'll give the opportunity to render the letter. But I really do want a member to think harder. Yes, I know you're thinking, but I think indeed we've got limited chance to get about the bush. We've got to find a way. Find a way as this leadership. In this committee, in this parliament, to say enough is enough. This is what we think will cure this cancer for the future of Africa.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. My concern is really when it comes to police. We are proud of the work they're doing when it comes to the confiscation. You know, of the drugs, etc. That is why, in our areas that we come from, the concern that we always have is, even in the Western Cape and the Cape Flats, that gangsterism and drugs are treated as one. And I think we have to look at that. How could we make a proposal to the, you know, the police department serving on the Central Drug Authority where they be regarded as the same time? Because within the areas I come from, the gangsters are fighting about their drugs, although it's broadened to something else too now. But I'm just going to zoom in the drugs. Because, for example, if you are living in the street with another drug lord and you're selling drugs, there's going to be a hit out on your life. Because they're protecting that turf of theirs. And I feel that we should look deeply into this and see God's make recommendations to the police. To treat these two separately. You know, the drug story and the gangsterism story, and don't have it as one as in their report. Then there's another problem, and I spoke to the police about it. The CCTV cameras. Our drug lords have these CCTV cameras at their homes. And the police told me they put it on their roof. that they can see a wider area of what is taking place. And they this nothing you can do for some private property. But I think that is something important that we should look at. Because the cameras are there to see when are they going to be raided. Or, you know, gang fighting, you know, that could take place. Then the other problem too is that the cars in which you're saying we don't know. Where the drug lord has the CCTV at his home, but now they have some one in the street on a pole. So it is everything happening, and that's illegal. Everything happening in the street. And you know, people don't have privacy within that street. So, and then, and it's true that they use our younger children. Because there are reports that in our areas, the police, you know, dress poorly will go into an area. Youngsters are playing soccer. And then they'll move from, then one youngster will break away and move to another one playing soccer. And when he gets there, then they move to another lot playing soccer, one youngster. By the time he gets to the drug lord's home, then the drug lord says, I have been expecting you. And then the other thing is just like many people ask about the community. I feel that the community, we have this problem. They are the people that should resolve their own problem. Because we can come from outside in doing intervention. Things don't take place there. Of course, when there are gang fights, it will pick up a shell. The drug lord is new to internet for that shell. Things like that. They pay for the rights in the streets of the people. They pay for the electricity. And people tend to fight the people fighting drugs or the police when the police get there. Then the other problem was that I experienced last week at the taxi rank, because my constituency office is in a taxi rank. And the taxi owners, they had a problem because they were selling drugs to our children at the taxi rank. And we feel so frustrated when I called them in one country. They stayed away, but I called in the police. That we could work on something. Then I think we have used all the laws, even they are for all, because they're selling a cigarette with drugs in it. That is, a child under 18 should not be served cigarettes, you know, can't buy cigarettes. But now the police are in a catch-22 position, because is that child below 18? So there's a lot of problems that we are dealing with when it comes to drugs itself. But they said they were going to work on something for us at those ranks, you know, that we spoke about. Now when it comes to your report, people were complaining, other members, it is 14-15 reports. Normally when it comes to the technical side now, when it comes to annual reports, the report and handing the annual report are probably the end of this month. And I would like to know from the CBA, how far is your annual report? Because the report that's coming in will be 15-16. And how far is that report? And then you have quite a number of departments within your report. Example, agriculture, transportation, the provincial and local government, prosecuting authority, international relations, etc. They say their reports are not included. And I would like to know from you what are you going to do about that? And it's true what the honourable member, I'm ending off, Honorable Bongi says, these problems are within our families. Because, for example, I had a break-in at my home. That was about a month ago. And I just heard someone jumping over my garage gate. And then I rushed out and I couldn't see anything. And I just heard my sister's son in the cottage screaming, just saying to me, "Hope, when we're out." When I got there, he used drugs too. He was stabbed 10 times. And that place was covered in blood. So it was in our family that these things are happening. And therefore, we are so passionate about it. And therefore, there are certain recommendations that we normally make to the department. And I'd like to ask the minister today, because it was in our recommendation before, that you can explain, you know, whether you want to review or do something about it, of making our Central Drug Authority an agent, not an agency, an entity, because we proposed it with our last report, and I think it came up in our policy, our budget and policy speech report.
But if I live in the cleaning, then I'm not going to be able to do it.
kanye kanye beza okokuba makube nje enkosi ndiyabona.
Express also their concerns and suggests that we tend to deal with those who get drunk and not those who actually dream about what makes people in time. But this reminds me, if the honorable members remember, when we presented the report on our visit to Northern Cape, the House had recommended that our report emphasizing on the prevalence of drug abuse, and also we were talking about poverty, and we were also talking about this unemployment. But the question that came from the chair at that time was also, did you look where the source is? How do these drugs get in there? Because in our report, because it has to be that report, it was not on police, the involvement of police, etc. But I think one of the members, all those who today are beginning to say, the drunk ones are not the only ones that are a worry, but the most worry is those who bring drugs and who sell and who make business out of the lives of our future. So can I allow the department then to place their own reflection on what the members are saying and answer specific questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I hope I've got the questions right. I'm not sure that I've got the answers for the questions, but so I'm going to ask my team to assist me wherever possible and to add anything based on what I've already said to contribute to your commission. The first point that I'd like to address is the fact that we put out the inadequate resources and the inadequate budget that we have. We make a recommendation from the Central Road Authority based upon a business plan that we devise on an annual basis in terms of the type of work that we are giving ourselves as a task to try and complete through the course of that year. That budget, unfortunately, we don't actually control. The recommendation is made based on the work that we've identified for ourselves. It then goes to the Department of Social Development, who put it in our budget committee for the resources that are made available to us. But clearly, and I accept that whatever is made available to us is what is available for the Central Road Authority, based on we can only have a certain slice of the pie and the pie. However, the need for assistance in order to get a bigger resource allocation, in order for us to be able to do the work that we require, the type of research that we need to do, and these are issues that have come up over and over again. A number of members have already alluded to that. Yes, it is something that needs to be addressed. And from the Central Road Authority, what I'm saying is, my appeal is, the more that we have made available for us to be able to do the work, the more work we will then do. There is no lack of manpower from our side in terms of the willingness to commit to the processes. Our resources, in terms of the budget constraints that we have to work within, is very often what causes us not to be able to do and achieve what we're looking for. So if there's any way that Treasury can be influenced to make a greater allocation for the work to be done, the people that we have as appointed experts on the Central Road Authority will then utilize all of that and advance the effort that we're making in order to achieve more than what we are capable of achieving at the moment. It's an appeal from our side to assist us today to do our work by pressing on Treasury how much more we need in order to fight the scourge. And I'll give you just one example so that you can understand it in response to a question that came up later. We know, for example, that every drug that is sold on the street, be it cocaine, be it heroin, be it crack, whatever it is adulterated. Now, when a person is found under the influence of the drug, the first thing that the
and the report comes back, this person was found under the influence of cocaine, or this person was under the influence of heroin. But what they'd actually taken contained a very, very small amount of cocaine and a very small amount of heroin, because it's been adulterated by our very clever dealers and manufacturers on the street. No one is paying any attention to what was the adulterant that was used. And this has only just recently come out, based on a person who was admitted for treatment for having been found under the influence of cocaine, as according to the forensic report. But when the person was treated for cocaine addiction, there was no response. And the reason was because the amount of cocaine in the drug that he was using was a very, very small amount. And what we need to interrogate now is what was the adulterant, and only as a result of the fact that this person was not responding to treatment did our minds open up, and we said to ourselves, we need to look at what else is there in that sample that was handed in. And now it's come out that there are all sorts of weird and wonderful concoctions that have been used, and the members have already mentioned that, which we were completely unaware of. And the person was presenting with signs and symptoms completely unrelated to the cocaine. Rather, to the, it's called anthelmintic, it's a deadly product that is used to deworm animals, that was used in as an adulterant, because it has a very similar effect to the cocaine. We've got things like benzocaine that are added to cocaine because it will have the same effect, but it's not cocaine. And our treatment that we are wasting money on now, the point I'm trying to make is we need to do more research in order to understand how real this problem really is. But we can only do that if resources are made available to us. I'm passionate about getting a university to open up a research unit where we can look at all these adulterants rather than the actual, we know it's cocaine, we know it's heroin, but what else is added to it? We have no idea. So how are we expecting our Department of Health to treat these people and detox them from something that we don't even know in the first place? The point I'm trying to make is, yes, we need more resources in terms of financial support in order for us to be able to do more work in terms of dealing with the problem effectively. That's just an example of how much more resources we need in order to be able to understand the real problem. So clearly the issue is whatever is available to us we are grateful for, but yes, we need more in order to be able to do more, in order to be able to be more effective in the work that we are trying to do as well. In terms of cooperation with other departments, we have three general meetings of the Central Drug Authority at which all of the representatives from the different departments are expected to attend. Unfortunately, the attendance at some of these meetings is not desirable. It's not what we require. There are some departments that are very, very active and very, very supportive of the work that we're doing. There are other departments that have clearly not identified for themselves what their role is as yet. How are we dealing with it? Well, we are going out on an ongoing basis to try and meet with the departments to ensure that they understand what their role is. In the drafting of the International Drug Master Plan, for example, which we are now busy with for the next 4 or 5 year period, what we are doing is we are being very, very clear in identifying what it is that the departments recognize as their role, and then advising them and directing them in the correct way in which they can help us. I'll give you an example. Home Affairs. Home Affairs, we are saying to them, why have we got so many illegal immigrants who are presenting a problem for us in the country? And the answer is because they have a law that says they cannot deport these people until they've had 3 offences. Now, we need to harmonise all of those acts. So one of the things that we are looking at in drafting the new industrial master plan is asking each of the departments how we can assist them to assist us in being able to deal with the problems. But we're meeting with them on a regular basis. Outside of the general meetings that we have with them, we have ongoing visits to their different departments. We very, very often are asked by them when they are drafting their plans for the year. So this is an ongoing process. Unfortunately, as I said, there are certain departments that appreciate their role more than what others do, and that is clearly what you can see from the reporting. SAS, SARS, ETI, Department of Health, Education, Higher Education, those of us actively being involved, and at the INC level, we know that they are equally active, and that is, I think, what has helped us to get the cooperation from those departments, but it needs to be broadened even further. And we are looking at that in terms of addressing it going forward, particularly with the drafting of the new National Drug Master Plan. The question on cannabis, the cannabis roundtable brought us very, very close to understanding what it was that the public wants. But it was not what we were asked for when we had the cannabis roundtable. The issue from our perspective was the medicinal use of cannabis, and was there a need for medicinal use of cannabis. Recreational use of cannabis is nothing that we can deal with, because at the present moment, with other acts and with other departments, it is listed as an illicit substance. We can't change it, so we cannot say you can use it for recreation. We cannot even make that recommendation or start to make that recommendation because we're dealing with an illicit substance. How can we recommend that people use the illicit substance? So there are other issues that need to be resolved first before anything like that can be debated by the CDA or the Central Drug Authority. However, there is a research unit that has been started at Northwest University based on an application that has been made to the Medicines Control Council for the research of cannabis for medicinal purposes, and it's aligned to other research that has been done elsewhere showing the advantages or disadvantages, whichever it might be, and that is an ongoing process that we are at and we are physically involved with at the moment. We are also very aware that there are constitutional court issues, and for us to make any recommendation at this point in time would be premature based on the fact that we need to see how the constitutional court is going to interpret this whole issue. So that is where we are at the present moment in terms of the cannabis issue. The Medicines Control Council, the Portfolio Committee on the Department of Health, made it very, very clear, and we as the Central Drug Authority supported it in that there is a need for more research to take place, as well as the fact that there is provision in the Medicines Related Substances Control Act for any person who is in need of the use of cannabis to submit a Section 21 application to the Director General, who will then allow them to use the drug. At the last meeting that I attended with the Medicines Control Council, it was agreed that this process is going to be pushed forward in order for us to be able to identify if there is a real need, and that we would then support a Section 21 application for that patient rather than denying them. But it needs to be done very, very carefully in order to ensure that it is not diverted into the illicit market, as has happened in all the other countries that are supporting the legalization of medicinal use of cannabis. So we are very, very aware of the recommendation that we have made in terms of supporting the Section 21 applications through Medicines Control Council, but recognizing that there is a lot of control and monitoring that needs to take place, which is what we have recommended. The question about the departments not reporting quite timely, and also in response to the reason why our report is always late as well. This is an ongoing fight that we have. We have representatives from departments sitting at the Central Drug Authority who are asked to go back to their department and to ensure that the reports are given to us timely. Very, very often the people that are sitting as representatives of other departments at the Central Drug Authority do not have the necessary authority within their own departments, and they await the signature of the Director General or the Minister before the reports can be made available to us. It's unfortunately a cumbersome process that we have to go through, but that they will not make their reports available to us until such time as their own departments have signed off the reports that we are asking for. So it's problematic, and we still need to find a way of overcoming that problem. But please, I'm appealing that you understand
can't get it. It's a fault of the system where we depended on other departments and director generals and ministers to sign off the reports before we can include them in our report. And this is complicating our life as well. And the apology for the team for being late, and I know that this sounds like a hardy angle, we keep saying it, but please, we are trying our best, we are doing our best in order to try and overcome that problem. One of the other issues that I'd like to address is in terms of the question around the number of arrests, involuntary, voluntary, and all of that kind of thing, as well as how do communities get involved. My immediate response to that is it doesn't matter how many resource inpatient treatments we have in the country, we will never be able to deal with the number of people that are looking or seeking help. What we have got to build is capacity within the communities to be able to deal with that as well. And one of the ways that we are looking and that we have already engaged in dealing with that problem is to follow the Colombo Plan process, where they have the capacity building programs for people within the communities to be able to deal with the problem as well. I must just also add that a person can go into a rehabilitation program for a 6-week or an 8-week program. What is then going to make that program successful is the continuum of care that comes afterwards, and this is where the communities have to be actively involved. But the communities can only be actively involved if they are being capacitated and given the tools with which to be able to assist these people to reintegrate and become contributors to the economy at the end of the day by developing skills for them. It's an ongoing process. We've already started to engage with that through the Colombo Plan, and we are hoping that within the near future we'll be starting to reap some of the rewards of capacitating the communities to be able to deal with the problem as well. There will always be a need for people to be treated on an inpatient program and that they need to be detoxed. We have been very, very clear in making recommendations as to the fact that we need detox and medically assisted treatment to be put onto the essential drug list. There is some resistance that we have encountered based on the fact that the Department of Health has other priorities, and substance abuse is unfortunately not as high on their priority list as what we would like it to be. They have got HIV prevalence rates to deal with, which they are driving down and doing very successfully, and that is the reason why we are aligning ourselves closer with SANAC in order to try and harmonize the efforts that are being made by SANAC in dealing with the AIDS problem, using the communities and the ward-based outreach programs, and aligning it with what we are doing. The Deputy Minister has involved us with SANAC. We've already started our first process, and we're hoping that this will go forward in order to be able to deal with that type of issue as well. One of the questions was asked about in which provinces have we started the new facilities that have been opened up, new facilities. The one that is already open is in the Eastern Cape, and that one is already working. The other is in Northern Cape and Free State, and we have one that is going to be opening up in the Papua province as well. So those are the four new facilities that we're looking and we're busy working on. That is work in progress and is beginning to take shape, particularly as we've seen. What we need to understand, though, that this is a societal issue. And the point was made earlier about the fact that society condones the drinking in certain areas and all this kind of thing. That is another area where we now have to concentrate on changing the perceptions of the public in terms of their condoning. And that is where the alcohol issue comes in to a large extent. So the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Health are working very, very clearly in terms of limiting the amount of advertising, and those are all processes that are in process at the moment, looking at that legislation in order to try and curtail the enticement for young children to start drinking as early as possible. In spite of the fact that they say drink responsibly, I still don't understand how an alcoholic can drink responsibly. It doesn't make sense, number one. And number two, whether we change the age from 18 to 21,
it still doesn't stop what parents are going to allow children to do in the homes. So this is why I'm saying this is a societal issue that we need to address as well, and we need to improve that within the structures in the homes as well. But certainly what we're trying to do is to to control it as best as possible. The licensing of shebeens or the non-licensing of shebeens, I know that there's a lot of work that has been done by DTI where they are saying to shebeen or people who are running illicit outlets, can we find you an alternative source of income? Can we train you to do something else? And will you then get involved with that rather than running? But that is a process also that needs to be followed and is being taken up by DTI and that we are supporting from that way as well. The involvement with the broader society, the churches, as I mentioned, in particular, this is part of what we are dealing with from the Central Road Authority, aligning ourselves with the program from the Colombo Plan. We, a number of us from the Central Road Authority, have already gone on the initial training programs as train the trainers. We are now willing to go and roll out the training, the expertise that we've gathered from them, and roll it out to the community. That is something that we are engaging with at the moment, and a concept note has been prepared based on that in order for us to capacitate communities to deal with that as well. The liquor licensing and their partners, as I said, I understand clearly the concern and we support the concern. Unfortunately, this is where we depend on the cooperation between ourselves and the other representatives from other departments. We report this on an ongoing basis to the SAS. We report this on an ongoing basis to Home Affairs, and then up to them to be able to deal with the issue. But what we have identified is that there are problems within each of the different pieces of legislation that allows certain things to happen where the department working in their own environment are not aware of the fact that it's impacting on our work as well. So we are now addressing the harmonization of all the different acts within all the different departments, and we've already had our first round of meetings with them. We're now looking at the second round of meetings with particularly the National Prosecuting Authority, the Department of Justice, where we are looking at how do we deal with the problem of arresting a person when we recognize this is a mental illness that the person or brain disease that the person is suffering from and putting them into jail. The diversion programs, the drug courts and all that sort of thing, these are issues that we are looking at and we are working very, very closely and we are addressing it at a provincial, at a departmental level with representatives from the Department of Justice, SAS, the NPA, because at the end of the day, that is their work, to arrest people at that time with the illicit substance. There are other issues that we need to look at in terms of does this person have a comorbidity, which means that this person needs help from a health perspective as well. So those are the issues that we're looking at as far as that is concerned. The stakeholders and the reporting, this is an ongoing concern, as I've mentioned already. And I think that is as much as I can report on from my side. I'm going to ask anybody else on the team who would like to get cooperative as well.
Thank you very much. Remember the resources that you mentioned, that they are inadequate. So, I mean, as members, we want to be looking on top of what is it that we have. Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to add on what Mr. Behrman has indicated, I think it will also be important that maybe CDA considers to maybe have a focused program to go to provinces and meet maybe with premiers to just also present and, you know, indicate the role that the provinces requires, because the provincial forums on their own, what we have realized is that they don't have that much power because they also rely on the provincial department to also fund them to do their work. And also it will be important to meet with SAGA and COPTA because the local action committees are at the local municipality level so that we can see how we can really begin to bring SAGA on board to influence the role that municipalities should be playing over and above the efforts they are doing now, so that maybe we can see improvements
in the next reporting period. Also to add on the issue of treatment centers, I think Northwest also has got a treatment center that they're building, they will be opening. And I think there are two. One, they are building on their own money. The other one is through the conditional grant that Treasury has allocated. But in addition, we have realized that for us to reduce the ratio of 1 to 18, we need to fund or subsidize the current privately owned treatment centers because, as indicated by honorable members, it's very expensive. So what we do, we subsidize and also buy beds so that people who cannot afford are admitted or are accessing treatment. And it's one of the ways of ensuring that we increase access and also the outpatient models and community-based models, because then residentially it's not the only way we can go because it's an expensive way, but how else can we afford access to treatment through outpatient and community-based treatment programs. The issue of how do we deal now with illegal treatment centers, I think this issue is really a challenge. It reminds me of the discussion we also had with ECD joint committee yesterday, where the Act is clear that you are not supposed to open a treatment center without you having been registered with the department. But unfortunately, you see people opening, they're making it a business now. You see people opening treatment facilities that are operating without meeting the required norms and standards, and there are, in most instances, abuse of human rights also takes place. And unfortunately, we're not aware of some of the things or existence of such facilities until there's a problem. So we also really had to ask communities to let us know if there is a facility that is operating illegally so that it can be closed down, because the Act allows us to close it down if it's not properly registered. There was also a question around how do we monitor court committers. I think all the clients that have been committed to the court, the Act is clear. The court also requires regular reports so that you update in terms of whether this person has completed treatment, is he or she in aftercare program, how is this person doing, what are the last chances. So there's that frequent or that regular reporting back to court by the social worker. I'm not sure if I've left something. There was a question around how far is the report of 1516. I think that was not answered. The report is almost done. It's with the editors as we speak, so that they can edit it. Then it will be processed through to the minister for approval. Then it will be tabled accordingly.
Can you ask this for the youth out here? What relationship do you have with the outlets that are in hospital under mental health care? They are mainly outpatients who go there. I do understand there might be psychiatrists or psychologists, all that line. If you can't, the CDA collaborate with those, for those who would need aftercare after they have been through. I mean, I'm looking at what existing other facilities that we can collaborate in order to intervene. I understand all the recommendations. I think they're right to keep us somewhere, but also trying to mobilize available resources that might not be fully used. For example, I know there are beds also in hospitals that are said to be, for many of you who are in hospitals and you show signs of mental problems, then you can be admitted there. So I would want to ask if the department can collaborate with that, or are they collaborating?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think the presenter also spoke about comorbidity and also the issue of dual diagnosis, which is currently a challenge. In hospitals, yes, we work with the Department of Health in terms of detoxification
and also the issue of psychiatric disorders. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes we send patients from one pillar to another because a presenting problem may not be the real problem at that particular point. So I think it is true, we need to ensure that we strengthen this partnership so that the patient or the service user doesn't suffer at the end and is correctly diagnosed for proper intervention and treatment.
Jay, may I just add something to that as well? One of the issues that has come out of the discussion, because we have had discussions, we are having discussions, this ongoing issue that we are addressing with the actual medical fraternity as a whole. And again, it brings us to the point where they are saying we need more education in dealing with substance abuse issues. This is almost like a speciality which at undergraduate level they have had no exposure to. It's not only within the medical fraternity. We know that psychologists are saying that they have a very poor understanding of this field that they're having to deal with at the moment. So it's another issue that we're looking to address at the undergraduate level at universities within the medical schools, where ordinary practitioners who are going to be graduating will have a better understanding on how to deal with the substance abuse problem. But as I also mentioned, the frustration that they have is that they don't know what they're actually treating, because we don't know what the drugs are at the end of the day.
Thank you so much, Chair, Honourable Members, and Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister. Thanks for this opportunity. There's been the comment of on the issue of CDA being a toothless entity or toothless authority. The department, I think we have to, as a department, we have to look into that. I hear that I've been discussing with Connie that there was something that was looked at about 2 or 3 years ago. As a department, I think we have to go back and really look into that and see what it is that we can do and do the review of what they are supposed to be doing. Because if you look into the reasons why the report is not coming on time, it's because we depend on other people. We can't get with other departments. We do not have power, or the authority does not have power to impose anything onto them or recommend to cabinet on things that with that bigger power that they will have. My take is that we as a department in Connie's department will go through this and see if we can be able to do anything. Though we are aware that the government these days are reluctant of having entities after entities, because there are many entities, and there's been an outcry of saying that we are creating more entities and all those kind of things. But when you look into this, for us maybe to be able to have kind of authority over the scourge that is taking place around the country. And CDA needs to get some sort of power that they can have, like all other entities that have, that can impose something to certain individuals and certain departments that may not follow what they're supposed to be following. That would be my suggestion to the committee. And maybe if we come up with that report then and ask the committee to support the things that would be suggesting to the committee.
I first use the opportunity, Minister, to request that I intend that you will become that. And I ask you to the grant that we ask so that the Minister can use the funds to the
Thank you, Chairperson, and I really value the comment that we just received with regards to giving the CDA more authority. But I have a concern and a statement that was made, in that they have the CDA has no authority to make provincial forums apply to the Act, and you don't have the authority to make sure that they are compliant with the Act. However, the accounting office for this whole department is the Minister. The Minister has the authority to do that. Minister, in your response, if you can just tell us, please, what action is being taken
by you as the minister, as the accountable person on this portfolio, to make sure that these departments comply with the Act. Hearing that they don't have budget or they haven't put money aside to adhere to an Act is not acceptable. It is an Act. They must put money aside to adhere to an Act. It's a legal forum. That's the first thing I wanted to refer to. And while we can, I asked the minister this question in the question session the other day. I still have not got a reply. The Limpopo Treatment Centre, which is the only one in a massive with a huge problem, despite being completed 18 months ago, still has not opened. We need that centre open. Please can somebody inform us what has held that centre up? I'm very involved in drug abuse programs in the Limpopo, and it really concerns me that this is not happening. Thank you.
Members of the committee. let me first suggest that the committee endeavor to get a full report by all the departments that are part of a CTA. Should invite all of us to come and account. Because I think right now the CDA that has to respond and we're expected to respond for other people. Mm-hmm. Right now we are helping the IMC. Mm-hmm. A lot of work has been done around the inter-ministerial community. Mm-hmm. We even went in as far as the impact study, allowed to come to propose. Okay. We allowed the Department of Health to do the impact study when we had already done one. And they are through with the impact study. They are supposed to be moving on, but as we all know, I can't instruct another executive authority to do things the way I want. Mm-hmm. But the committee can do it. I really feel that DTI is doing its best. And with them, the challenge is that there are responsibilities that were given to provinces during the constitution making process, and liquor boards were given to provinces. And what they have been doing when the minister calls meetings, they would not come, and they have gone up to as far as talking to all of them, and their processes are moving forward. And I'll check what the problem is with the minister, but I'm sure that when they were in the process of a liquor policy, our side said we were not clear on some of the issues, but that was not brought. So I will find out after this meeting, because alcohol and substance abuse has been given to the deputy minister, and I was just in thinking that maybe we should take it back in the ministry and then try and pull it up a little bit and take it back to the deputy minister. Because we give a responsibility to deputy ministers. And also, the reason members of the cabinet started taking responsibility for population and development, because they're also hosting a population development, was when we decided to take the report first to cabinet, and then ministers saw that they were not doing us a justice, because they would fight and they would say no, but we never saw this thing and what and what. But after we started taking reports to cabinet, at least they respond promptly on issue. And I think there isn't anything wrong, Connie, with taking the same report to cabinet and also a report that the departments are not responding timely. And we can also ask to take the same report to the president, council with premier, so that we report again that the issue is not taken seriously. And then Limpopo Treatment Center. When we are giving money to build a structure, that should go hand in hand with a budget for the program. Because once we go there, open the center without a program, we will be putting ourselves into trouble. Right now, we still have a problem of batteries. We all know that I was not being able to absorb a lot of social workers, because at some stage, provinces said, look, we've been paying for the absorption of social workers and we are exhausting our money for other programs. And therefore, as from now, we are no longer going to absorb social workers up until you commit to pay for all the social workers that you bring or that you take to university. And everyone knows that in South Africa, we are a growing nation. And if you need to have a proper human development, you need a very strong department of social development that will have people on the ground that will be working with communities on a daily basis. And therefore, if we don't have a money for the intake, it means there is going to be a very huge gap at some stage that we will not be able to account for in dealing with the issues at a community level, because there are challenges at a community level. And social workers are supposed to be dealing with most of those issues. And then we've also learned from other countries. Brazil, they focus more on the dealers and traffickers. And then they have an outpatient community program where people are very much committed to treatment. The only part that becomes intense is the detox part. And after that part, people go back home. And because I really feel that South Africans do not understand the damage that is being done by drug trade in our country. Even as families where they have problems, they don't understand. And therefore, you need to use an integrated approach. The way we started in El Dorado was very good. And I thought we were going to take that as a case study and implement it throughout the country, because even social workers, we brought social workers from other provinces. Even the police, we opened a new police station that was focusing solely on that. When we are supposed to be, okay, around the commemoration and days, it's fine. We do have a budget that we can use, but as the department, because we also have our mini drug matter plan. Now, you expect that all the departments that are in this will come together, have a program that is not going to be a one-off. A program that will be sustained, that will be able to involve communities, schools. What we are doing in schools is just a talk to the kids. But who takes that as a pep talk to parents? Because this also includes the issues of parenting. And therefore, I think there must be a big shift. And that a big shift will come up maybe if the committee calls all of us and try and say, look, we are not happy about this. And all concerned as South Africans must be pulling up their socks in trying to deal with the issue. It is right in primary school. Mm-hmm. Right at those that sell children sit just outside and they just run. And what we saw in Pretoria last year was very hectic. You see small packets, as if it's a sherbet packet. I think we all know sherbet.
Yes.
It's there, it's all over school yards, gates, and you can see where they sit when they do this thing. And communities keep quiet. And you don't know why our communities are so afraid. But also, communities take a patronage from drug dealers. If they come out and say, I am going to pay for the school fees of your children, they take that money.
Yeah.
And so I really feel that even with the research, we need to have very strong research, because even with Wumba, we took time for her to agree that Wumba was a drug, because the whole thing is sophisticated up there, and we've been trying to pull down the program, saying that no, this is not about research only, it's about a community. The agency, I would agree to the agency, because we are individually going to be asked to account to the agency. So it will make a very big difference if we have a standing agency that will ask all departments to inquiry, implement, but also that will be able to present to cabinet, came up with a recommendation, and then follow us all as departments on the basis of our contribution in the program. December, we don't have a budget. And during a holiday, that is where this thing comes up. We always piggyback on the Department of Health, transport. We go all over with them, do our work. But at that time, our budget is finished. Why? Because money has been gradually reduced or budget. and therefore it's not like we have a huge budget to deal with these issues. But also, I must say that our role is prevention and part of rehabilitation. We also have to pull up ourselves in some of the areas. And also, the reason I suggest that maybe I should take the program back maybe for 3 months. We'll try and pull it up and move forward. And therefore, we must try and prepare the submission that we take to Parliament, I mean to say to Cabinet. And I don't know, Chair, if we can also propose that we have a debate on the issue, but not for scoring points, political points. I would never use this to score political points. Mm-hmm. Just to say to our communities, look, we are sitting on a time bomb. Wake up. And even to all members of parliament and all departments. Thank you.
I am indeed not going to open now for any further
education on clarity. I don't
know. Can I honorable members? Can you give me an opportunity, Mama Wilson? I think I've been very generous in terms of ensuring that people have enough input. Mm-hmm. And I have made an indication that the minister will be last in. But can I want to make a special appeal to the members, honorable members of this committee, especially as we come from different political parties and we have this meeting of minds charged with this tragedy, that we need an opportunity. Having the minister has not refused, as far as I'm listening, she has been wanting to comply in this regard throughout this meeting, in so far as our needs are, as a portfolio committee, faced with a challenge in a country. Mine is to say, yes, we had a debate, we had an oversight, we have minutes, they have been taken to the Auditor General. He spoke to me about the minutes that we have, that they are very informative of what we are doing as a portfolio committee, of which I'm very proud to say, written down that we have good minutes, our business is clear in playing our oversight. What I wish we would do is that we need to stay together, not really bring anyone else as a committee. Put what we have discussed now into specifics and how we are going to support the committee. I said we must know the department. I make note of the fact that looking into the disaster too, this portfolio committee, disaster out there being caused by the drugs, we must be able to be above a political environment and take that position of saying, can we unite with all our wisdom against this noble requirement to save the country? As I say that, there is a notion that there's no money. And we can't believe that treasurer, I never negotiated with the treasurer because bureaucratic. They always say there's no democracy so far as money is concerned. They have to follow a particular route, and if we have to give you, if we join, we join. Finish. But it becomes worse for an official, because not all officials are equal. The department knows that.
Yeah.
So sometimes we need to bring some force around how can we like a lotto or whoever sponsors things in South Africa, saying anything about sponsoring towards fighting the drugs, rather than problems in sport, at work, all over, athleticism, everywhere. But I've never heard lotto and seen a need to add some funds that will enable this particular entity to agent entity to have more resources, to bring more hands, to bring more heads towards this noble a goal of achieving a society free, a free society from drugs. The other thing is, I think whatever communication we have, the strategy of communication to the very people who are victims of this, and the traffickers and everyone, how serious this committee is about this problem. We need to have that direct communication. And I think beyond everything that the minister is talking about, please consider an INDA that will bring key people in that INDA. But you will do our work in terms of bringing in the MSs and their DGs or HOGs to a meeting, and this portfolio committee, to actually express our view about this problem. But we find all political and legal processes of getting there, because we are the national department and we have got corporate governance. Mm-hmm. And none of us would want to say if that continues, we'll get more votes. If that continues, we'll have no votes, we'll have no society to serve, all the rights we have been, we'll lose everything, and ourselves, and our dignity. To say, I think we have had this. I know we are an oversight, but an oversight that is wasteful is an oversight that does not want to bring support for a collective way to do. Which you can have a red pen, you cross everything red, but if you don't say, you could have answered this way, that student will never get anywhere. Continue to say this is your test, then you mark everything wrong, and then you don't write that. I didn't call answer, the answer is, so that the people know the is. Lastly, Minister, I have been to Brazil many times. I was really, really sad when we were taken to one ghetto, where police cannot go, because it is under the control of drug lords. For police to go there, they have to ask a permission from the drug lords if they want to go in and enter that state. And we are quickly getting to that situation in your Mrs. Plain, in your Kukuletu, in your Khayelitsha. You have to mind your business. Don't interfere where they are. And I think it is growing because it was a Mrs. Plain. It moved to these areas now. When it reaches the informal settlement, you don't even know the street where the police will go to. So I'm feeling in such areas. So my question, my request is that while we have our political different views democratically accepted in this festival of ideas and better of ideas to the parliament, it is critical that we sometimes select that this one is a common and all of us, as a chair, I'm prepared to comply with anyone who is saying this is how we can go forward. So my appeal, therefore, Minister, is that I, as a chair, I'm prepared to go to the highest office. Whether it's treasury, whether it's the leader of business, whether it's the speaker, because this voice of these members must be heard, that we are being held accountable for the drugs that are taken, because we are the oversight. We carry the same responsibility as the implementers. Implementers have their role, and oversight of their role, and questions that ordinary South Africans can ask. If the burden was too much, what did you do? If they were hurt, yes, let us say they were not doing well. But do we have to keep quiet? Do we have to do nothing? Do we say, no, the department says, where were these wives, women and men that were in that portfolio committee? What did they do? So with these words, I wish we have an opportunity to actually synchronize this, make our reflection, and have proper ways of saying, share, leaders, this is step one, step two, step three. Because when the army is too much, the wives will always retreat and go to the drawing board again. You don't continue fighting all the way, seeing that your soldiers are falling. It's better to retreat and then go to a drawing board and advance with new strategies and new approaches, having seen that others are not working. With this new work, Minister, I want to thank your department for coming, and the department, I appreciate that CDA has been given an opportunity to pour their heart out, to say this is where we were feeling we're not very strong. And please, go with us. The enemy is still out there. Then I will allow Honorable Wilson to say what she wanted to say before I close. And I know if someone speaks, someone also responds to that. So please keep us in that we don't have new matters coming.
Thank you, Chair. I'm actually not going to ask a question to the Minister. I'm going to make a request to the Minister. We've had this report, we've discussed, I think there's still a lot of issues that need to be dealt with, and I appreciate the Minister saying that she's going to come in for 3 months and just see how she can uplift the situation. I appreciate that. And Minister, when you come back and report to us, can I ask you, please, because we are the oversight authority, and we do put money into the CDA, that we get the financial. An annual report without the financials is not helpful at all. If there's resources lacking, we need to look at the financials. We oversight the financials of this department, and I think it's only fair that we also get the financials of the CDA. I understand this is not an entity, but they are still funded by the department.
Then I believe it would be breaking down from what was given there, because that report is included in the actual report. So what the request, how I understand this request, I'm going to agree with this. I don't want to confuse the meeting. To say the report, financial report, is included in the master annual report of the department. But I am not going to buy you from saying you would like an agenda that speaks to this particular one. So I would want this a meeting to leave knowing that the report was part of the annual report. However, then we'll actually end there and say thank you very much. We still have other meetings.
Sorry, Chair, I understand the department leader. Can we just get some clarity on the requests we made after last week's meeting? Have we got extra days to go through all the reports? We need to plan travel and time back in case I'm for that. Thank you.
Let us continue today or tomorrow because we have not yet not consulted with the community, so that give us.